Let it out. Don't hold it in, it's better out. Darkness looking like bad weather clouds. It can't stop me cause I'm heaven bound. I feel better now. On the highway, Lord, I'm heaven bound.
Welcome back to another episode of Broken Record Ministries. I'm Rami, and the powerful, sultry voice of Micah is here.
How you doing?
Brother Bob is back.
It's definitely your pleasure.
Silent, not so silent Ron is here.
Hello.
Schmike check. Schmike is here.
You're welcome.
And the lethal weapon, Stephanie, is back.
Hello.
And the OG bully herself came in guns blazing. Tisha is here.
Hello.
That kills me.
Schmike, would you like to read our Bible verse?
Yes, sir. I will be reading Luke 1, verse 45. You were blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said.
Our topic for this episode is what makes Christians different. You start talking to people and they compare you to this or that. There's stereotypes, there's pitfalls, there's traditions. But with all that grime, gook, what makes Christians different? What should make Christians different? And I'm going to burst Bob's bubble right
now. Oh, no, I'm not. You can't burst my bubble because it's Jesus. There you go.
I'm not accepting.
You're accepting that.
Deuces. Right.
Bob is on a roll tonight.
Gotcha. That answer is null and void for this episode.
That answer is never null and void, sir.
Well, that is correct, but not for this episode. You can't Jesus juke me.
I just did. So what you gonna do about that?
Yes, I plugged it in.
You told me to remind you.
I didn't. So,
for starters, the lethal weapon will get you, and the OG bully will. So keep going.
Who wants to start off?
I think there's a lot of differences that make us different, but I would say probably one of them is that we have purpose and we have hope. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't get discouraged. It doesn't mean that we don't get overwhelmed with life. But we have a hope and a future to look forward to, that we get to enter into this relationship with Jesus and one day spend eternity with him. And I think that gives us hope and that gives us purpose. And without hope and purpose, then we just kind of mull around in the world and kind of go through life. And why do we even get up in the morning? You know, if there's no hope and there's no future, you know, there are people that believe that death is the end. Well, if death is the end, then that makes a pretty bleak world, and that's pretty depressing. There's nothing to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And the idea of being able to serve Christ and being able to understand what he's done for us on the cross, that he gave his life for us. And he wants and desires a relationship with us. That was the purpose of Adam and Eve being placed in the garden and walking in the cool of the day. It was about relationship. And so what makes us different, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, we still have problems just like everybody else does. In fact, we have the same kind of problems that everybody else does. You know, financial problems and family problems. And we have the same issues that the unsaved do. So what makes us different? One of the reasons is how we handle them, and the other is that hope that we can have in Christ, that hope of, you know, we think of Jeremiah 29, where it says, I give you hope and a future. But the context of that, and that's important because he's just told them to build houses, take wives, get comfortable, because you're going to be in slavery for 70 years. But I know the plans that I have for you. So it doesn't mean life's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that life's going to be all comfortable and joyous. But it means that we have something to look forward to. God hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't just left us on this earth to wander aimlessly without a party and without a purpose. So for me, that's the driving, one of the driving forces is we have a hope and we have a purpose and we have something to look forward to and a reason to even go on with life when it gets overwhelmed and when it gets, the pressure comes, it gives us a hope.
So we're not here to stay here. We're just,
yeah. Well, we're here to do a mission, and we're here. Yeah. We're here to do the mission until he calls us home or comes back to take us to be with him.
Right. So, yeah. Either way, we're going home.
Right, exactly.
Correct.
Yeah, that reminds me of a T-shirt that Tisha wants. It's the "Heaven's my home. I'm just here recruiting." You know, but
I thought you could talk about our other T-shirt.
Half hood, half holy.
Yeah.
I think for me, part of what Micah had said hits a lot too is we have a relationship.
Yep.
Is we have a relationship with Christ that I think gives us that hope, and that's what he wants from us, is to have that relationship. And as I've said, you know, before, absolutely, the relationship that he puts in your lives with others that normally you wouldn't have had. I mean, because, you know, my wife and I, we've been here 20-something years now, and before now, almost 6 years ago, there was two people at the church we walked into that we recognized, and that was it. And that was Bob and his wife, and that was because we had church surfed one summer and sat in his shop and went to his church. But other than that, you know, I mean, and town's not that big. I mean, it's, you know, so running into people, having those, any experiences, things like that, that's a God thing, you know, and then to continue to do it as well, to put more people into your life that just help you feed your relationship and your walk with him and everything else, I think is, to me, what puts us apart. Now, I will say on what you were talking about as well is some of the stereotype things that kind of get you, if you will. I know they do me. As soon as you tell somebody that you're a Christian, so you think you're better than me, you know, or, oh, you're a hypocrite, and, you know, all of these things. And it's just so, I think when you get to that point, you can just realize most people don't want to have a conversation. Yeah. They just want to tell you how you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can't. Most people like that, I don't think you can combat, really, you know, or you can't engage in, because then it's just fueling in more to what they believe. And again, they don't want to have a conversation.
They don't want to have a conversation. They want to have an argument.
Yeah.
Correct.
Essentially.
Yeah. So.
I'm going to hit off what you was talking about, too. You know, what makes us different, too, is when a situation presents itself. Like today, how do you react to that situation? Do you fly off the handle? Do you start throwing things? Do you start stomping around? Do you start,
yes, normally,
cussing? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, from the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say you had Micah.
I had it. But like today, you know, the old me. Oh, I'd have got them people on the phone, and I'd have ripped them from one side down the other.
Yeah.
But it does no good. I mean, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you show yourself and allow Jesus to flow out of you in situations like that, that's how we are supposed to be different. That's how Christians are different. Now, granted, there's people like Mike was talking about that, you know, you walk up to them and they're like, oh, you're so bubbly, you're so full of joy, and why are you like this? And you tell them why, then they're like, that's not true. That's not why. You're fake. You're not doing something right. Or they go, what do you want from somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always saying that we want something from them. And I do want something from them. I want them to give their life to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they shouldn't. Hell was not made for man.
Mm-hmm.
It was built for Satan and his angels. That's who hell was built for.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
Bully, would you like to talk?
I definitely have some thoughts about this.
I knew you would.
First of all, thinking about how people view the church, I know that a lot of times when I share with people that are maybe not believers or maybe brand new believers, they're very, now you're not going to come on all churchy or all judgy, are you? Or when I invite people to church, almost every time I invite people to church and they come for the first time, they're like, now the building will not catch on fire, right? Like there's always that joke. I don't know why. But, but there are ways that I do think the expectation is different. I think it should be different, but it's hard that it's different. For example, what you do speaks a lot louder than what you say. So how you live your life. And sometimes that's hard because I know just in where I'm at right now, I know that one of the things that I fail at sometimes is unmet expectations that oftentimes I don't know someone has of a Christian woman. So I've been learning that as I go, that there's times where I have not reached out in a fast enough time. I have not checked social media. I've not done whatever the thing was. And it was purely, I had no idea I was doing it wrong, but the expectation was so high that this is kind of what they thought that I would do or be or say. And I fall short in that area at times. So that's tough, but I think the biggest thing for me, what God has been putting on my heart about how we should look different, is that we should look present in the world, but set apart. And God's really, really been working on me about being set apart in all of the scripture that I'm reading. So when I think about being set apart, I think that sanctification is kind of the marathon part of Christianity, that that we are ultimately, I think we confuse salvation and sanctification sometimes. Salvation is immediate. It's, you know, boom, you are saved. But the sanctification process is more like my crock pot, you know, as opposed to the microwave. So it's the Holy Spirit working in my life, and it is being in God's word, and it is slowly refining me through, like Micah said, we're going to go through trials. And sometimes, oftentimes, I forget that those trials are to refine me. I think of it as a punishment almost, as opposed to refinement. Sometimes I have to go back and look at it again and thank God for my refinement, as opposed to, God, please take this burden from me. Take this really hard thing from my life, this health concern or this financial concern or whatever is going on in our life at the moment, a concern over a child, which has kept me up more than one night with six kids. So I think the sanctification process is just really beautiful, but sometimes we don't like the refining process. And when I say we, I mean me. I don't like the refining process. I'm learning to be grateful for it, but I'm still learning to be grateful for it. And one of my notes is that being set apart, being sanctified, is for God's use, basically. And that nobody else can have us. So ultimately, God loves us so much that he wants us to himself. He wants us to glorify him. This is our purpose. And so I just think that whole process of being present in the world I think the biggest compliment is when someone, I don't have to tell someone I'm a Christian. They just know.
They just know.
They just know. And it took me a lot of years to get to where they just know, by the way. Just, and I haven't mastered it. I still fall short, obviously, multiple times. I've just told you. But yeah, so I think that that's how we should look. And I just love that. I love how God directs us. Like I said, like this is what I'm kind of focused on right now. But it's God directing how my steps. And I just want to add to what Micah said. He was talking about that purpose, which I love. I think that gratefulness, my gratefulness has changed since I became a Christian. And the longer I've been a Christian, the more grateful I am for everything, for the breath in my lungs, for the wind in my hair, for Jesus. I meant Jesus first, and here I put it third. But I'm just so grateful for all the things. I'm grateful for a job, even when the days aren't perfect or great sometimes.
Or good.
Or even good. Yeah. I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful for all the people that he puts in my life to guide me. I have so many.
Even when it's harsh?
Even when it's harsh. I love it. Because, again, it's for my refinement. It's for me to figure out. I love that I have people in my life that go, hey, simmer down a little bit, you know? And it's funny because there would have been a time I wouldn't have said I loved that. Just a few years ago, even I would have been like, hey, you mind your business. I'm talking here. But, so yeah. So just gratefulness. I think I'm going to add to what Micah said, has been a huge change for me, that it changes the lens in which I see everything, because Jesus gave me a gift that I did not deserve.
Well, so, hang on, don't shake your head.
I don't get
it. You have an answer for this. So, before you started coming regularly, right? Shut your mouth.
Are you in trouble? Nope.
Before you started coming regularly, did you have an opinion about Christians? I'm only asking, and I'm not putting you on blast, because I did. And I even used the joke that Tisha said earlier about, if I'm going to church, I'll burn the place down, right? And then I even carried that on and said, luckily, when I went, it wasn't a church building, it was a theater.
I only had one thing to say about God before I became a follower, or really wasn't God, it was Christianity altogether, that it just gave people a way to get through life before they were gone.
That like was, a coping mechanism.
That was my thing about Christianity. They only believe so that they can get through this life.
To make it.
To the end. Mm-hmm. That was my belief before God. Because my life was rough, and I'll tell you, I didn't believe because of what I was going through. And I figured, if there was a God, why is he doing it? Mm-hmm. I mean, a little bit, yeah. All of it? No. So I judge Christians fast. I was like, you only believe in it because it helps you get through your life. And that was my MO.
Is it different now?
Well, it is different, but I tell you what, here lately it's been rough, and to not go back.
Yeah.
Today was very rough today, and I just got a lot of things I got to
read out?
Look into.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Like, and sift through. I didn't mean actually. Like,
for myself, you know, like Cole was saying, Sunday, to even be able to be that man in the house that I'm supposed to be, because I'm not. So, I have a lot of, I didn't think I had a lot of work. I thought I was doing pretty good, which I am in some areas, but there's other areas I just totally stink, and I've gave up on. I'll just say it.
Okay.
You know, I gave up on it because I've, in my eyes, I've tried everything and nothing's working. So.
Okay. That's one. I knew. I judged Christians harshly before. And so, and I knew us knowing each other a while, I knew that you had too, so that's why I wanted to get that.
I had that feeling that, you know, like Tisha said, you know, you're a Christian, okay, you think you're better than me, you got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. Well, you may have the book smarts, but your street smarts suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And I didn't have the book smarts, but I had the street smarts because I knew when and when not to do things so I didn't get beat down. Mm-hmm. So.
Steph?
I think, I mean, there's a lot of things that should make Christians different than the world. A lot of them being talked about already. One thing as a teacher, I know earlier this year I had a student, she was really mad at me. She was being very disrespectful, and I called her on it. And then she turned around real quick and looked at me. She goes, "That's not very Christian of you." And so for me, I think a stereotype is we're just supposed to take it all.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be that doormat.
Yeah, and I think that turn the other cheek, I think sometimes is taken to such an extreme that people allow themselves to be treated in such ways that it dehumanizes them or Christians as a whole. I think there's the opposite extreme too, where people expect perfection, where you, oh, you're a Christian, but kind of that hypocrite, you know, mentality, but we're human. So I
think he also said we weren't perfect.
Yeah. Right. I think there's a lot of things that set us apart, but at the same time, I think there's also a lot of things that, like, we are supposed to be set apart, but we're not supposed to be unhumanly different.
Right.
Like, we're still people. We still have our feelings. We still have our frustrations. Like, yes, how we handle ourselves should be different than the world. But I... just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I have to let you talk to me in such a way that demoralizes me.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's one of the stereotypes that's, at least for me, that especially working with the students that I do, is probably most common. But then at the same time, I, you know, now that we're at the end of the year, I have the students and they're realizing, hey, we don't talk to each other that way. And the reason is, well, she's a Christian, so we don't talk like in this room. And they're like, well, you don't want to hear what I say outside of the school. Well, that's fine, but while you're in here, you're going to prove to me that you can do it. And so I think part of that set apart, too, is being that model example and being willing to not just necessarily like guide, but sometimes you got to be that flashing sign that says, no, you're not doing this. You're better than this.
We had our youngest, Brett, and I know everybody knows, but when he would bring his friends over, he would tell them, he goes, okay, there's some things you need to know when you come to our house. My mom and dad touch a lot. And you're not going to talk to or in front of my parents like you do yours. That won't be acceptable. And that was, I think, a proud moment. I know for me, because of the fact of, it was one of those early signs of he gets it. It wasn't, I don't get to do this, or, oh, my parents are so mean because they don't let me talk like my friends. Because, granted, we used to record downstairs from him, so we've heard some interesting language while he's playing video games. so again, human, you know, but at the same time, he knows this is the expectation, and it's the expectation when anybody you bring into the house is here. You know, so I think that is just, again, set apart, and there's a difference there because that obviously, you know, and I've said too, that wasn't always my life. I mean, I'm a Marine, so it was a noun, adjective, verb, and everything was any cuss word you could come up with. So, you know, so when I say proud, it's another, just another example of what what God's done in my life. So,
for me, like I said, like it was, I felt like I got burnt on traditions instead of religion before. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was traditions in the mass of religion. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you go to church, you have to dress this way or that way or, you know, XYZ.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, even my thing there for a couple of years was, like, pray with my hat on, right? And it was like, what, to me, it was that quote-unquote, like, rebellious spirit still, mm-hmm. right? But, like, to me, it was also genuine of, like, what does it matter if I have my hat on or not? It's an audience of one
yeah.
with him, right?
Right.
But it bothered some people.
Yeah. And, well, and still does, you know, I mean, yeah, because does, you, yeah. sometimes that rebellious nature of yours still comes out and you purposely don't do it.
Yeah,
but right. Again, if we are to say to anyone, come as you are, then that is everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we don't discriminate against the homeless guy that comes in without a shirt on. Mm-hmm. And why should we?
It has a Q&A session.
Yeah.
And a sermon.
Yeah. Right? You know, or, you know, any of that stuff. And why should yeah. we?
And see, I think that's when my judging of Christians, or what I was looking for to be different, like the light bulb went off on me. Because the first time I went, it was different, completely different of anything before that I experienced. Right? But then I would say probably 2-3 weeks after that, it wasn't. Yes, I was getting the word and I was feeling everything. See that? Mm-hmm. But
he cried like a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was times when like we ran out of tissues all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just for me.
Oh, no. Nope.
But at the same time, I was waiting for that shoe to drop.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now I was used to the mask of tradition. Now I'm used to this mask of just come as you are and worship. Mm-hmm. So when's that mask gonna? When do I get to peek behind the curtain?
Yeah, when you get the preacher to tell you, okay, now next week we have to start doing this for real. So everybody needs to. Here's yeah. the dress code guidelines, and here's yeah, the yeah, right. yeah. When I'm still waiting for him to stop punching me in the throat every week. I mean, 6 years later now, and I'm like, really? Can we stop now?
I know, like, and then. Ron, you and I were talking about maybe, or Brandon maybe, and I was like, it's almost like a version of Stockholm Syndrome. Like, where I like it so much that I don't, but I keep coming back for it. But that, to me, that was the difference. Like, I don't want to say I didn't get it, but I didn't get him, which is that personal relationship.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. I knew Jesus because I heard stories about him, and there was a picture in my grandma's dining room. Like, that was it. And then I knew Christians because of traditions. Of where we went when we were little, all the way up even to, like, my middle youngish adulthood. It was the same way. Like, I'm just here to make my grandma happy. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys can keep going. Don't worry, I won't be here next Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know? And then I used to cringe, Micah, like when I'd go to a church with my grandma or anywhere, and then it was like, we got some new people with us, and you have to stand up, and I'm like, oh, I didn't want to come here in the first place. Why do I got to stand up in front of people? But
don't.
But then you get everybody looking at you.
Like, talk about the rebellious side coming out.
No, but for me, that was the thing. But like now, I get some of it, and some of it I still don't. And that's the religious part, right? Like you,
And we all have to, whether we're believers or non-believers, have to press past religion a lot. It's like, you gotta wear a suit and tie, or you gotta wear your hair the same way. Sorry, Mike, you'd be out.
Man, again.
No, like, there's just, it's not a relationship, it was restrictions and rules. And we all around the table know how I love rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's a lot of the problem with it is the fact of most of them are man-made rules. You know, the tradition is not biblical. It's not, you know, to where it's, I think it's different if that's something that's in the sect of being biblical, then it's different.
Yeah.
Well, we also know how Christ responded to that. Mm-hmm. Like the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of Pharisaic rules in Christianity, but we don't want to call it like that because that's Old Testament, that's Jewish things, and so we don't want to call it that, but it is. It's the same thing. If Christ was here today, which of our rules, man-made rules, would he be criticizing?
Oh, yeah.
I think to the world, too, don't you guys find that you constantly have to remind people when they go, well, what makes this so good, or what makes you better, you know, because they believe that we're going to act better. We've all kind of talked about it. And I just constantly am saying, look, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Mm-hmm. I am really trying, to let God work in my life in a way that I look more like Jesus. And that I exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, but God's still working on me, you know, but I am a sinner saved by grace. Like I do. So I'm not going to be perfect for you. I'm probably not even going to come close, to be quite honest. Not even tonight. no day, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever told him this story, but like the moment that I got it, like the light bulb went off or came on, however that goes, was Bob. Because, like, Bob and I done some crazy things. Talked crazy, did crazy stuff. And then I see him, and he's just doing what Bob does all the time, right? Talks to people, worshiping, and the whole thing. And I was like, okay. Maybe I'm not so far gone. Not that Mom was bad.
I know what you're saying, though.
I'm just saying, like,
is he wrong?
He was correct.
Yeah.
But you're doing exactly what I was talking about. You were watching Bob rather than just listening to Bob.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? You were watching the change in his life.
Yeah.
You were watching his transformation that Jesus did. Jesus does actively.
Yeah.
I love that.
Bob's preaching. I'd like to go see that. And then it was a biker church, and I was like, I might pull up in a tricycle. And we never went.
We just pulled up folding chairs.
Yeah.
Well, I know that now, but you know, me, I think it was just another excuse not to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
I know where you're coming from. I made them same excuses. I always make excuse not to go. When Rose would ask me, be like, hey, do you want to go to church? I'm like, nah, I got this to do. Or I got that to do. Or my biggest one was, well, I think if you're going to go to church, I'm going to go work at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuff to do out there.
I could be making money.
Yeah, correct. That was it.
Yep. Well, and I think, too, a big thing is, like I said, about the people around you, hopefully seeing that change in you, too. Because, like, one of the stories just with people sitting around the table that always hits me is Ron. And Ron talking about going to the DMV, you know, and thought he had everything. And then the lady was kind of rude to him. So he got on her. And then he walked out and he was getting ready to leave. And he realized, I can't do that. I can't leave like that. Because there was that change. There was that heart change in his life that a week before that, he wouldn't have cared less. He wouldn't have let it bother him or anything. But he turned back around. I think he turned back around or he called. I can't remember which one.
Halfway home, I called.
He called and apologized. You know what I mean? That's huge. I mean, because really, what was the benefit? he couldn't gain anything by it. He couldn't, you know what I mean? And probably, not to say it didn't affect whomever it was, but to them, it's just another one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, because probably wasn't the only one in that day, because nobody seems to be happy anytime they go there. You know, I mean, you know, but at the same time, because there was that change and he had that heart change and he knew his direction and everything that he was doing was different now, he made that call. Because to me, couldn't have been easy. Couldn't have been easy to call and tell somebody you're sorry. I'm sorry for the way that I talked to you. You didn't deserve that. Or I don't even know what exactly he said. But that doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is he made that call, and that is such a huge thing that it's unbelievable. Because how many times have we done that?
Well, and if that person steps into his church, truly, if they came into our church and saw Ron, think about the difference, because they're going to remember that phone call.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, you know, right there is a testimony.
Absolutely.
That you never planned to have.
Yeah.
I love that.
And again, what did he have to gain? Because all he did, he told us, I don't even think we were, you know, recording or anything like that. I think we brought it up more than he ever did. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it wasn't look at me, I'm so good. Yeah, let me pat myself on the back and all that. But it was the right thing to do. And he knew that. He knew that, you know, that he was being watched by God when he didn't know he was before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to go back to Steph talking about being a teacher too, because I don't know what her walk was. I've never asked, so I don't know the answer to this. I don't know what her walk was when she was Brett's teacher. We've never discussed it, so this is kind of on the fly, but I just want to say that I remember him coming home one time and talking about her, and he said something was hard or frustrating. I don't even remember what the situation was. And I said, okay, well, what do you think about all this? And he goes, well, I trust her because she's a Christian. And I said, how do you know she's a Christian? And he said, I know by the way she conducts herself. And he was in fifth grade. He was a fifth grader. So he disagreed with something his teacher said or expected of him, which is not uncommon, I don't believe, for a fifth grader. And he decided to get past it because he knew she was a Christian, so therefore she could be trusted. And I just think about that. Like, I go back and I think about that and I think, man, it gives me such phenomenal respect. I respect her for leading my son, but think about all those lives that she's touched, where those kids, at the end of the year, they have a different countenance about them than they did when they first came to her. And man, just that reach is overwhelming to me, to think that not only does she have that reach, she uses it. And, you know, I can pretty much say everybody at this table to some degree does. And I love that, because that's how we take Jesus to our community, is those everyday moments that, you know, that show that something is different, but in a very good way, that you're going to help somebody out, even though they don't intend to pay you back or help you out, or, you know, you're going to move somebody, you're going to deliver flowers, you're going to do all of these things that you think you're not going to do because it's not in your comfort zone. And then it's just because Jesus loves you so well, you have to love people well.
Do you have to, or do you want to?
Well, I guess maybe sometimes I feel like it's God telling me I have to be quite honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
But there's always joy in it.
And what he calls you to?
Yes, I believe in most cases that we're being called to do it. But sometimes I feel like he has to push me harder than other times. Sometimes I go, man, I like my comfortable life, or I like my time. I'd like to have time with my kids or my family instead of going out and helping somebody, or being up all night on a phone call, or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Whatever God.
Sometimes I walk through the door, and sometimes he throws me through the
door. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Either way, I know it's right. And either way, I try to be obedient. And sometimes I do it with an obedient, grateful heart. And sometimes I do it with a little bit of rebellion, but obedient. I wish I was more like Daniel. I'm not. I'm I'm not like Daniel. I'm not like,
preach.
Okay, God.
I mean, and I don't know of any of us that are, is what I'm saying. Not that you, babe, sorry. Yeah.
So even if God doesn't show up, yes, I will step into the fire. Not a problem. And I'd be like, let me think about it. Let me just stand back here away from the fire for a moment and see if this is really what God wants for my life. But anyway, so I just...
Yeah, well, and let's be honest. There are some people that are not easy to love. I mean, obviously it doesn't make it that they deserve it any less because, you know, no matter what, God loved them just the way he loves you.
And there is no pick this person out of a lineup.
Right.
They're not easy to love.
Yeah.
Right? And it could be different things. It could be like what Bob was talking about, that overly bubbly person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like to me, those people are not easy to love. Or you can have that stern, hard person. Some people think those people aren't easy to love.
I don't know why he's looking at me when he says that.
Notice how I look down at my coffee. I said overly bubbly people.
Yeah, you do. You know why you're saying it. Yeah. It's
like, nope. Mike, I saw you gnawing on something. What were you going to say earlier?
I mean, I think just what Steph said, Daryl... He's the guy in our church. He uses this joke that, which is really food for thought, but he says, you know, Paul wrote a lot of letters, you know, and he's talking about the pharisaical ways that we get involved in. And he goes, what kind of letter would Paul write to one of our churches?
When
I think about our churches today and what kind of letter would Paul write to those? But I think, you know, the difference is, and I was reminded of Philippians 2, really, starting with verse 10, it says, do all things without complaining or arguing, which that's hard in itself. I mean, I'm already done.
I feel like you're calling me out.
Then he goes on to say, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. I mean, we are responsible to be the light. We want to say the world's a dark place, and, I mean, not to be political, but watch the news for five minutes, and you know the world's not a very good place.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the world is a dark place because there's not enough believers that are shining the light.
Yeah.
And so he says that we are called in this crooked and perverse nation, which I think describes where we are today.
Oh, yeah.
We are to shine as lights. And he says, how do we do that? Then verse 16 says, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. And so... You know, there's that aspect of understanding who we serve. You know, we don't, you know, you were talking about my, and I get like that sometimes, my kids, my truck, my car, no, it's God's. I'm just a steward.
Yeah.
It all Absolutely. Belongs to God. You know, as much as I love my kids, I got to understand that they belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
They're just on loan. I mean, we're just responsible for rearing them and, you know, the admonition of the Lord and training them, but they belong to God, you know. My vehicle belongs to God. You know, people think we're nuts because every vehicle that we've ever owned, we have a little prayer service on every vehicle that we've bought. You know, new to us, we don't buy new vehicles, but new to us vehicles, and we have a little prayer meeting. We lay hands on that car and say, okay, God, everywhere we go in this car, may it bring glory to you. Whoever we pick up, whoever we transport, whatever we do, God, in this vehicle belongs to you. And wherever we go, whoever we pick up, whoever's in this car, help them to understand it's a blessing from you. And people think, even believers think we're nuts. But that's the setting apart. That's mm-hmm. the difference, is understanding what it's about. Because I'm probably harder on believers now than I was in previous, because I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did grow up like you were talking about, in that legalistic, rigid, judgmental, you know, the pastor's the authority and he stands on this big pulpit and, you know, no one can approach him. And, you know, I mean, we, That's the kind of, so to me, growing up, that's how we're supposed to act. And then you realize, you start reading the scriptures and you start growing in Christ and you realize, wait a minute, that's completely wrong. That's completely off base of what we've learned this whole time. It's about bringing honor and glory to Him so that I'm not running in vain or doing whatever we do is not pointless. Mm-hmm. Because we serve a higher purpose. We serve the Heavenly Father.
Let's pull Nino off the record. Final thoughts.
That was it.
That was my final thoughts. Bob?
I got nothing.
Okay, let's try this again. Bob?
I got nothing.
Paging. He opened Bob up to something over there.
Somebody else go. All
right.
I'll go. I have a verse that I love. It's Deuteronomy 14:2, New Living Translation. You have been set apart as holy to the Lord, your God, and He has chosen you from all of the nations of the earth to be His own special treasure. And I just feel like this hits home in this talk and always, that don't forget whose treasure you are. So everything we've talked about, we're glorifying Him, but how can you not when He considers you a treasure? Like,
whose house?
God's house.
Say what?
Say what?
Sorry.
I knew
that was
good. Why?
I'm just going to go with one of my favorite verses because I think it's very apropos for everything we're talking about, because you're talking about people and kind of their opinions outside of a relationship with Christ, and that's Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Didn't say some, didn't say everybody but the preachers or the ones, you know, the disciples, or it was all. You know, so we're all on the same playing field. It's just about making that choice to have that relationship and follow Him.
Ronzo, you got anything?
I truly do not.
Do you want me to go now?
No, I want Steph to go now.
Okay, Steph can go now.
So my final thought is more of, you're either a fan or you're a follower if you're a believer in Christ. And I don't know if you've read that book or not, but it's a really good book. And it's basically breaking apart the difference of being a fan or being a true follower. You know, you can be a fan of a sports team, but you know nothing about that sports team. Whereas if you're following the sports team, you know wins and losses, and you know stats, and you know people on the team, and all the different things. And so I think of that in relation to our faith. And in our faith, are we just fans where, yeah, I believe in Christ, but I look just like the world? Or are we truly followers where we're set apart, we look different, we act different? You know, even when things are really hard and you feel like you're at your lowest valley or in the toughest storm, people still see Christ in you. And in that, I was thinking earlier, because I like bringing scripture to it, what scripture? Like, in praying, what scripture? And I really felt like He was pressing on me, Peter. So Peter, as a fan, denied Christ 3 times. And he was a fan. And because when things got tough, he's like, oh, no, I wasn't one of them. I didn't walk around that guy. Yeah. But then he then transformed into that follower. And he had that very intimate conversation with Christ at the second charcoal fire, where Christ is like, do you love me? And, of course, the love there is that agape love. And he responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And that was the brotherly love. And so it was 2 different words being used. And Christ asked him again, do you love me? And Peter couldn't come to that agape love. Like, he's like, I love you like a brother, but, like, not the action. And then finally at the end of it, like, Christ got him to a point where he's just like, basically, are you my brother? And Peter's like, yeah, I am. And I think we see that transformation in that very intimate moment where Christ is taking Peter from being that fan, that person who, yeah, Christ, I'm here for you, but I'm going to love you from a distance because I don't want to be associated with you because, as Bob opened up to in the book, following Christ brings trouble. Like, it's we're not promised it's going to be easy. In fact, we're told it's going to be the opposite. And so if you're a fan, you have that point where you're like, this is too hard, and so I'm going to keep at a distance. Whereas when you transform into that follower, the world's going to notice, and that's when the world can get caught on fire with your light, and that's where it spreads. And I think that's that transformation we can make in the world that Mike was talking about.
And at current recording, the Royals have a better record than the Cardinals.
Yes!
Just FYI. Now Bob can go.
You sure?
Sorry. All right. One track mind.
You mean one pitch mind?
Yes, exactly. On the pitch count, of course.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to piggyback off what Tish was talking about, treasures. Okay. You know, Jesus talks about what's important. You know, he tells us this in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you where it's at in the Gospels because I really want the listeners to find it for themselves. Amen. I'm going to read it to you, but if you know where it's at, go to it and dig it out and break it down and really get what Christ wants you to do. It says, don't save treasures for yourselves here on earth. Moths and rusts will destroy them, and thieves can break into your house and steal them. Instead, save your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, and where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where your treasure is. And then it goes on to say this, the only source of light for the body is the eye. If you look at people and want to help them, you will be full of light. But if you look at people in a selfish way, you will be full of darkness. And if the only light you have is really darkness, you have the worst kind of darkness. I can relate to that. Because when I was before I was saved, that's what I'd done. I tried to get as many treasures as I could get in this world because I always thought that the man with the most at the end won the game. And that's how games are played, right? Mm-hmm. The yep. man with the most, yep. he wins?
Yep.
But it's not true. Monopoly, correct.
That's his goal.
We'll set up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning and then have to call it good because...
Rock, paper, scissors.
That's right. Rock, paper, scissors to finish the game.
Not how you make friends.
But
unless it's golf.
Unless it's golf.
And the lowest score wins.
Right, right. But
this was Monopoly.
Correct. What I'm saying is focus on him. Focus on God. Because, guys, there's nothing in this world worth looking at. I've been there. I've done it. I've run after everything I could run after. I tried to fill that God hole with things that people steal. Moths eat up, rust destroys. I mean, there's nothing in this world that is sacred that can actually sustain itself. I'll put it that way. We definitely can't sustain ourselves. I used to think I could, but he proved me wrong. He opened my eyes and showed me that the only way to sustain is through that relationship with him. That's where it's at. So my thing is dig that out, tear it apart, dissect it, and I'm saying get down and really tear it apart and get what he means out of it. Because it really will do you some good. For one thing, it'll give you time with the Father. It'll start building a relationship with him, especially when you start understanding what he's saying in them verses. And it's not just them verses. It's the whole Bible. It's the whole Bible. He give us that Bible to be our guidebook, to be our handbook for life. It's the do's, the don'ts, what you shouldn't do, what you probably already done, but you shouldn't have done. The love letter, correct. But yeah, my final thought is just seek God. Seek Him first, right? Mm-hmm. And everything will be added to you. You got to seek His kingdom.
Because I was doing something else. I have 7 Christian facts that hit pretty hard or deep with biblical evidence. So God can turn your biggest headache into a beautiful testimony. So keep trusting. That's Romans 8:28. Your life should not stay the same when you live for God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Love isn't love when you leave God out. It's 1 John 4:16. Don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell the storm how big your God is. Mm-hmm. That's 1 Chronicles 29:11. God knows, and that is simple enough. It's Jeremiah 29:11. And the last one is, we were made for God first, then for each other. That's Isaiah 43:7. And with that, Mike, would you pray us out?
Okay.
What?
Pray the same.
So you don't want to
No, absolutely. Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for all of the people around this table, Lord, that not only are here for me at any point in time that I need, but they keep me in check. They tell me when I'm wrong. They give me encouragement. They do all of the things, Lord, to keep me on the path to be try and be as holy as I can be, Lord, for you. And for everything that you would call me to do, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity of getting into your word. Thank you for the chance to talk about you. Because, Lord, that is such a privilege and that is such an honor to be able to do that freely, Lord. And I know that I take it for granted way too much. We love you and we praise you. And we want to do all we can for your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And until next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.